The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome in to the Speak Up Table. You know, my guest today is Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm. He's been with us before with lots of good information, and today we are looking at the upcoming November ballot that has for Sandpoint residents a $130 million bond for a new wastewater treatment facility. You know, there are so many considerations beyond just the dollar amount. So let's draw in and find out what is needed here and why our city leaders are proposing this. All right, so we're going to take our first break right now. We're going to do a little business. When we come back, we will be talking with Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm.
Albertson Barlow Insurance Services in Sandpoint is your trusted, independent, locally owned and operated full-service insurance company. Scott and Ty understand that insurance these days can get confusing. They're here to assist you through the process and explain your options clearly, providing you and your family the right coverage for every need. Life, health, property, auto, and more. Contact Albertson Barlow Insurance in the Old Powerhouse Building, online at Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
Start your day off right with a breakfast from Spud's Waterfront Grill. Try their new signature jams, breakfast sandwiches, and tasty scrambles, plus delicious house-made soups and sandwiches, perfect for a hearty lunch on the go. Spud's is now open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Got an event? Spud's catering options features baskets of sandwiches, large salads, and comforting crock pots of soup. Located on First Avenue in Sandpoint, check them out online, Spud's Waterfront Grill.
For those of you who aren't quite sure what the Co-op Gas and Supply Company carries, here you go. We've got gas cans and safety products for your car and your boat, casters for tables, clear plastic, and packages of rope, driveway reflectors, safety masks, caution tape rolls, plumbing supplies for indoor and outdoor controls. In the warehouse, we have things like hydrants and large tarps, rolled fencing, energy logs, puller sleds, and pull carts. Pressure vests to help your dog remain calm, milk replacers, flex wrap, bandages, and bag balm. We've got camp lanterns, camp stoves, and survival supplies, water carriers, wool blend socks, and rain gear to stay dry. And we fill small propane tanks. We thought you might like to know. Come see us. The Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
For nearly 100 years, Adams Tractor has helped the Northwest knock out to-do lists one tough job at a time. As your local Kubota dealer in Spokane and Lewiston, we're proud to back Washington State Athletics with the same grit we bring to every yard, field, and job site. From mowing to digging to plowing, Kubota delivers, and so do we. Visit AdamsTractor.com. Adams Tractor, nearly a century strong, powered by Kubota, fueled by Coug Pride.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensated for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
News Talk 97.1.
All right, everyone. As promised, welcome back in. Say hello and greet Mayor Jeremy Grimm. Thank you so much, Mayor, for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and it's always a pleasure to speak to our residents and business owners about what's happening in Sandpoint.
I hope they're taking notes, because it's so much more than just the number that I think kind of gets everybody's attention, $130 million. But let's get into some details, or all the details. First of all, why did the planners, the city council, and you decide to go with the actual number you needed and not a lesser number and kind of slide into this?
Sure. So it's a big number, $130 million. By my account, this will be the largest public works project in Bonner County history. It's a big project. And the reason we're going for the full amount is because the listeners need to understand that the plant that we have today, the sewer plant, it's been piecemealed over the course of the last 50, 60, 70 years. We have components that are from literally Farragut Naval Station that are pushing 60, 70 years old. We have components that were built in the 60s. We have components that were built most recently in the 80s. So the reason we're going for the full rebuild is because I thought and the council thought that if we only do one part of the plant that's failing, we could spend tens of millions of dollars and then wind up the very next month with a different part failing, and we could still have sewage running into the river. So really important that we don't spend $20, $30 million and then still have a problem. So the focus was, let's solve the problem. Let's build us a plant that will take us long into the future and replace the plant that we've had for some parts going on 70 plus years.
All right. Well, that to me, of course, makes good sense. Fix it right.
Fix it right.
Do what you need to do to fix it right. So it also, the 130, my understanding is it covers design, acquisition, which I have a question on, and construction. Mm-hmm. So talking about the design phase, do you have an idea of what that will cost and what the timeline is on the design?
We don't have a specific number on the design cost at this point. Where we're at right now is we have something called the preliminary engineering report. And that that basically looks at the components of the plant. And if you know anything about wastewater plants, this is going to be repetitive, but we have primary filtration where the sewage first comes in. We've got clarifiers. We've got digesters. We've got disinfection. So there's all these different components. And the preliminary engineering report basically lays them all out on the land that we have. We've done some geotechnical borings, so we know what the soil looks like, what the construction, environment's going to look like, and the hydrological flow. So some areas need pumps, other areas it can gravity flow, but we have this whole layout. It's not designed in terms of how thick is each wall and what size is each pipe. So that's the first step, is to go into design, and that will happen immediately after this bond election. And that's obviously, that design will influence the total cost of the project. But at this stage, our engineers have looked out and said, what's the big picture, making some pretty gross assumptions and erring on the conservative side, because we certainly don't want to come back to the public and say, we don't have enough money to do this project.
Exactly.
They have designed that preliminary engineering that I'll call it a worst case scenario, but that is going to be moving forward this winter after the election. And then we'll get into the construction. That was the other part you asked about, construction and acquisition. Mm-hmm. The acquisition, there's no land to acquire because it's owned by the city. This facility would replace the existing wastewater plant in its same location. And then the construction would be the challenge of this is we have to both run a plant at the same time as we're replacing parts. You've heard me say before, it's like changing the wings on an airplane while you're flying. Yeah. So it is going to be a bit of a engineering feat, but most of the elements are very tried, true, traditional, standard practices. We're not creating something new here in the sense of
And the building a new wing while you're still flying the airplane, I mean, people will perhaps be able to identify with new computer systems, huge computer systems like we had at the university, bringing one online. You're always online over here while the new one was coming on, and in some cases even replacing the old. But you always had that old system one way or another. Somebody needed that backup. So I'm assuming that,
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about, we have a gravity system. We do have a number of something called lift stations in town. But if you're up north in Sandpoint, the gravity is taking the sewage down towards the plant, and it's flowing for most cases, but there's no stop. I mean, when people are flushing their toilets or taking showers or emptying their sinks, you can't stop the flow. So it flows regardless to the plant.
Yeah, that plane is flying.
Yes.
I like that analogy. So design acquisition, which is not land, so I'm thinking
equipment.
Pipeline.
Yep. Equipment, components.
Yeah. Which is very dependent on a lot of things.
Tariffs, all sorts of lead times. Yep. It gets very challenging.
Exactly. And a part of the issue that has to be dealt with. And then, of course, the actual ongoing construction then. So those are the three phases of getting a brand new wastewater or sewer system here for the city of Sandpoint for the long-range future for this community. Some of our listeners, I think, may not exactly understand what a bond is. How does a bond operate? How do you get a bond? Why would we do a bond instead of some other way of getting money? So explain to our listeners. Just
so,
kind of the overview.
I think you can think of it as sort of a mortgage on your house, but not exactly. So we know we're going to need somewhere in the order of $130 million or less dollars to do this. We collect money every month as a utility from our bills. We can't obviously store up that money to build a $130 million plant. It would take a very long time. So we go out and it's effectively a loan, and that would basically allow us to draw on it at different times. So we would maybe go out for a small portion of that, for example, for the design element. And then we would maybe take another portion of that bond authority to go out for another bond for the procurement and acquisition and construction. So the nice thing about a bond and this measure that's out there is it doesn't guarantee that we're going to spend all this money. And I hope to God we do not. I'm going to do everything I can to not spend the $130 million. But it's what the voters are authorizing us to bond up to.
Yeah.
So the bond would come in parts because we don't need to borrow all that money and pay interest right on the front end. So it lets us break it up so we can do a portion for the design. And then once that's complete, we could do another bond. We'll be looking for, at the markets, looking at interest rates. Should we hold off for another few months to take that next slug of funding? And then, of course, the most important thing on these bonds is they're payable over a 40-year term. We hope to go to the federal government, the state government, elected officials, and really ask for their involvement in this project. And that's probably one of the most important things for the public to understand right now is the lack of federal involvement at this point and the very minimal state funding that's been brought to this project at this time.
All right. I want us to repeat that. We might even go over it again because I think those points are so much, they total for me counterbalance, when I think about $130 million. Because first of all, you use the phrase up to $130 million. So we may not need all of that. And if the bond passes, let me ask you this. If the bond passes, does that put us in a better position to receive some other streams of funding from the federal government, from the state government, even private foundations that care about clean water and clean rivers and lakes? They may even pony up some money.
Absolutely. It puts us in a better, not only a better position, but it's to some degree a requirement of this process that we're going through. And what the bonding authority, if approved, would do is it then lets the city understand what that effect would have on our rates. Mm-hmm. We would have to pay back those dollars at an assumed interest rate over 40 years. So we can then say to the federal government and the state, hey, if you don't give us any help, or if you don't participate in this project, here's what our rates would be. And that's a pretty, that's a outrageously high number. You know, our rates going up 100% to $200 a month just to flush your toilet and, you know, empty your dishwasher and take a shower. Those rates would be some of the highest in the region, if not the country. So it's our hope that once we can show our partners at the federal and state level that here's what going it alone means to our residents and our businesses, that they will then come in and say, oh, that's unaffordable. That's a huge burden for implementing a government mandate that you treat your water. So hopefully that leads us to some very productive discussions and some action at the state level and at the federal level to help fund a portion of this replacement. Now, I want to make a good point if I have a second.
Sure.
We are treating our wastewater because in 1972, the federal government adopted something called the Clean Water Act. When that act came into fruition and became law, the federal government put over $25 billion at that time to help communities build sewer plants. Since that time, they've added almost $700 billion more to help cities build and towns build sewer facilities to meet the standards of the Clean Water Act. So to some degree, we all agree that clean water is essential and morally it's our obligation, but this is a federal requirement to treat the water to these standards. And unless we get federal assistance or state assistance, some could look at this as an unfunded federal requirement. Mm-hmm. They're saying, treat your water to this quality standard. But as of today, the state's only been able to give us $3 million, and the federal governments have not stepped up to provide us any funding despite requests.
Yet. And with this bond, it positions us better.
That's correct.
To argue that point. And I do think private foundations might even be interested in this. I can think of some local ones that might be interested. So it is up to $130 million. Is it also fair to say that a bond, unlike a regular mortgage or even a construction loan, is at a lower rent interest? It offers some interest advantages.
There are. So we start to get into the complexity of which programs we're going to go down. Now, the federal government does have pass-through dollars that go to the state of Idaho, and the state of Idaho uses those for something called a revolving loan fund. The state ranks all of their sewer projects in the state each year, and we've gone through that ranking. We are ranked number third in the state for need. And as a result, they have said this year we can loan this much money, and that loan is a reduced interest rate. Unfortunately, what the state has been able to offer us from the dollars they have available is only about $35 million. So we still need to go out to some other entity for bonding, and that would be the private markets. Some of your listeners may be aware you can invest in a tax-free municipal bond. So this would be a group working with us to put an offering out to the private sector, and those would be at market rates. Mm-hmm. So we do have some avenues for a reduced interest rate. If the state can allocate some of their dollars for a portion of the bond and the loan, and then we would probably go out to the private market for the remainder.
I think the other thing for people to keep in their consideration when they make up their mind is that this is going to be spread. The bond itself, the payback, is spread over 40 years. So it's a lot of money, and yes, it could be high, but it is spread out. And so really we're investing, my way of thinking, we're investing in the future. You know, this is probably not the best examples because they're so big, but I think this is a big deal here in Sandpoint. You know, my grandparents, they had to make some sacrifices because of the Depression, through their wars. You know, people have made sacrifices. Again, you know, not to compare this to a war, but it's there are times in our lives when we have to step up, Jeremy. This is the way I look at it. And this just may be the time that Sandpoint has to step up. And we have to do what we need to do to ensure that we do have clean lakes and clean rivers and a sewage plant that actually works, that actually does. So our kids and our grandkids will enjoy that.
I like to use this example. My teenage son goes out and drives his car that he's worked hard to fund, and he collects gas money from his friends. They might go down to Kellogg or Coeur d'Alene or somewhere, and he collects the gas money, but then one day he realizes his tires are bald, and he hasn't factored in that his tires need to be replaced, and he should have been charging his friends, you know, a portion of that. And infrastructure is very similar.
Yes.
We are using the infrastructure today that previous generations have built, and although we collect enough money to fix it and operate it, we really don't have that money set aside for expanding it or replacing it.
Yeah.
So
that's a great example.
It's something that I hope the voters out there educate themselves on. And I'm very hopeful that this process helps our federal and state officials understand that the engine of Idaho's economy, of America's economy, in part is our municipalities and our ability to provide infrastructure. So it's really imperative that our federal and state government not just invest in tax cuts and other things, but we need to invest in our infrastructure. And they are a partner with us on this project. And hopefully they will hear that and understand that as we move forward.
I agree. And I hope that that does happen, that they will be listening. All right, we're up against our next break. We're going to take that right now. When we come back, we've got more questions for Mayor Jeremy Grimm.
Lanaque Realty has two land listings in Bonner County with price reductions. Take your pick. Each 1 acre on Davis Road in Sagal. Building pad, power, water, septic are ready to go. No CCRs. Septic system installed. Adjoining county-maintained road, water, and power are already in. Close to Sagal School and Sandpoint. Listed at $169,900. For all your real estate needs, see the professionals at Lanaque Realty. LanaqueRealty.com.
Selkirk's Pondere Transit is your convenient and free local bus transportation. Hop on the spot stop nearest you. Hours are 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. with 40 stops 7 days per week serving Dover, Sandpoint, Kootenai, and Pondere. The map, schedule, and live bus tracking is available at spotbus.org. They are following FTA cleaning guidelines, keeping spot passengers and drivers safe. Again, visit spotbus.org to see spot schedules, map, and bus tracker. Selkirk's Pondere Transit is your convenient and free local bus transportation. See you on spot.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Two lines of unlimited for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings compared to Verizon and AT&T. But don't just take our word for it.
It's not just the savings that are great with our T-Mobile plan. There's all this value from all these other things that T-Mobile offers.
T-Mobile has been such a savings for us.
We love it.
Switch today and get two free 5G phones like the Motorola Edge with turbo power charging that gives you power for the day in just 15 minutes. And customers 55 and up can get two lines of talk, text, and data for only $30 a line. Go to T-Mobile.com/55 to learn more.
With 24 monthly bill credits and two new lines with autopay for well-qualified customers plus taxes, fees, and $35 per line connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. 45% off two lines versus AT&T Starter and Verizon Welcome. Plan benefits vary. See details at T-Mobile.com. Motorola Edge requires 68-watt charger. Charger sold separately. Actual performance will vary based on usage and configuration.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We are talking, well, we're not really talking about sewer, are we? We're talking about sewer treatment, wastewater treatment plant, a new one that Sandpoint, the city of Sandpoint, the municipal city of Sandpoint needs, according to law. And so there is a bond issue that's going to be on the ballot, and the people that vote mayor are the residents of Sandpoint, are the ones that get to make this decision.
That's right, just the residents of Sandpoint. That's correct. Right. And we're here because some may recall this was the number one issue I ran on when I ran for mayor. The status of our wastewater treatment plant has, I'll use the, you know, kick the can down the road for too long. Previous city council members have done a good job trying to plan for us, and they've worked on some really tough issues of where should it be located and how should we approach this issue. But we have taken very, very formative steps to actually start the replacement process, which is this preliminary engineering report and request to the state. The facility, as was mentioned, parts of it are over 70 years old. Many parts of it are over 50 years old. It's been not invested in. And there are a couple elements of it. On any given day down there, we have some very heroic wastewater plant operators who face unimaginable situations. For example, we have pumps down there that are from very large pumps, from the 80s, that you can't just get a replacement pump or part for them. We've got circuit boards that are equally as old. We've got the computer running the plant, and it doesn't run much, but is Windows XP, if you know anything about that. And on any given day, there are pipes that are breaking. There are valves that are literally rusting off. There are examples when they've had to run to North 40 to buy a sewer pipe because they've got a broken main somewhere, and they literally are putting, you know, RV hoses out there to run the plant. And the end result is that we've had a number of violations in the last couple of years, and we were very, very close to a really bad one this winter when we almost had raw sewage flowing into the river. So this is a daily occurrence. We are spending a lot of money and constantly white knuckled down there, just waiting for the next element to break. When you have a plant that's 70 years old, that's understandable.
You know, Mayor, it occurs to me that people may not understand the seriousness of these problems, the daily, weekly occurrence of issues that are happening, because we have a team of workers and engineers down there and covering this that are going to, you called them heroic. I don't think that's an exaggeration at all.
They
and
are.
It's kind of transparent to us users, you know, how much they have to do to make this all work. I mean, Windows XP?
Yep.
That's just crazy.
And it's not just that. It's because of their heroic activities, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. They've been able to make this plant function with minimal violations despite what they're working with. Now, as I mentioned, the state ranks all projects each year, and those with very high violations or threats rank high. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword where you're trying not to have a violation, and but you actually are not eligible for as much funding if you are actually making it work. So no, they do a great job. You know, one of the things that they face is, and we all face here at the city, is there's a lot of thoughts about growth and whether this plant is required because of growth or required because of the new homes or apartments. And I just want folks to understand one thing. This isn't a growth-driven plant replacement in and of itself. This plant is 70 years old, and it's beyond its useful life. You know, growth does pay its share. When a new building or a new apartment comes online in Sandpoint, that builder pays impact fees, and those impact fees pay for more roads, bigger parks, police, fire, and pathways. And when you hook into our sewer system, you pay something called a NUF, a new user facility fee. And part of those new user facility fees go to repay the system for the capacity that's waiting there. They can just hook in and turn it on. It's not like when a new building comes on, we add another few feet to the plant. So the way this works is the sewer facility is built. It's built for a design period of 20 years, although that is just the norm in the state. This facility will last far more than 20 years, likely 40 or 50 years. And then when somebody builds a new house or apartment or restaurant, they can hook in and that capacity's there, and they have actually paid for that with that hookup fee.
One of the things I want to understand, and that means I want the audience to understand, is that if this bond doesn't pass, it just seems to me the position we're in is we have to do this. Well, this has to be replaced, whether we get authority to go the bond route or to go some other route. And so there was a flyer that went around that talked about we need to vote for this because it will cost money now. But if we have to do this in an alternative funding stream, we will really be paying a lot of money. Is that true?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. The unfortunate reality of the situation we're in. So we could, if the bond were to pass, and we have this lower interest rate that we could use to pay for these improvements all at once,
and maybe other funding sources coming on board.
I will literally wear the soles off my shoes trying to get other funding. We have already started with the legislature, the governor's office, our senators and congressmen. But no, we hope to bring additional funding to this. But this bond is the first step. If the bond doesn't pass, we really are faced with two options. The first is there is a way we could go to the courts, and it's called a judicial confirmation. And basically the court or the judge would have to say this is a necessary and ordinary expenditure. Even though the voters have denied it, you have the right to go into debt for this project. That's not ideal because it's really the voters have said we don't want this. The other alternative is for us to pay out of pocket, so to raise our rates so that we can rebuild this plant in the next few years, and that would mean a significant increase in rates. Basically, we'd be paying for it in a very short duration, maybe over 10 years, and then
instead of 40,
correct. Yep,
so. Which really pushes it up. You know, use the phrase where some voters may be thinking, I don't want this. What they're really saying is, I don't want this. It's that amount of money that they're getting stuck on. And I hope they're hearing today, and we're going to talk about events and places that they can come and get this information from you directly and they can ask their questions, is that they will see that, yeah, it's a lot of money, but we have a problem here. We have a really big problem when we need to solve this.
Yeah, no one's coming to our rescue, and we have to solve this. I just want to be clear that the city doesn't take a position on this. We can't suggest voting in favor or against.
I know, but I can take a position.
I'm just here to provide information.
It's an opinion show. You know? The mayor's here for the information and truth, and I'm here to, sorry, my opinion.
Oh, no, that's fine. But it's critical that we address this because not only for the water quality, but we certainly want to have a infrastructure in this city that looks forward and that provides opportunity for new businesses or growth in the community. Because if you look at it on a land use planning perspective, if we don't have capacity to absorb growth and to grow in the city, people aren't going to stop coming to Bonner County.
Right.
And some portion of them then are going to probably grow in the county. And that's going to always be on septic, which doesn't work really well after about 25 years. So this is part of this larger, you know, planning and preparation for the future. And it is unfortunate that we've reached this critical moment in the facility's life where it's failing. But this is the time to deal with it and face the facts and find a path forward.
Yeah. Well said. I agree. I just have to comment before we take the next break that you were very kind in talking about previous administrations that may have, to use the phrase, kicked the can. I don't feel that forgiving exactly. I think that they did not do their fiduciary responsibility 25, 30 years ago, whenever, where they just somehow, they thought there were other things that were more important. I will say one other quick thing, and I'll ask for you to comment on when we get back, is if there is any, I mean, there are many reasons that people move into our area. I mean, it's, first of all, it's Idaho, but it's beautiful and it's pristine. And I'm telling you, clean water, clean lakes, clean rivers. I mean, it is one of the big draws for not just our residents, but our tourist industry. And it's very important that we protect it because we are the stewards of these gifts, of these mountains and these waters. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking back to, you know, if you know anything about the human body, you can go maybe a minute without air.
Right.
You can go many days and weeks without food, but water, I believe it's a very short period that you can survive without water. So yeah, clean water for our sports people out there who like to fish, for our recreation.
For the animals too.
For our friends downstream, downstream in Dover and Priest River and Newport and elsewhere. You know, we wouldn't want someone upstream facing someone in Clark Fork, Missoula, with a sewer plant that was about to implode. We would hope that they would face those issues and repair it. So we have an obligation to address this issue.
All right. Well said. All right. We're up against our last break. We're going to take that right now.
Start your day off right with a breakfast from Spud's Waterfront Grill. Try their new signature jams, breakfast sandwiches, and tasty scrambles, plus delicious house-made soups and sandwiches, perfect for a hearty lunch on the go. Spud's is now open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Got an event? Spud's catering options features baskets of sandwiches, large salads, and comforting crock pots of soup. Located on First Avenue in Sandpoint, check them out online, Spud's Waterfront Grill.
Sun Rental Center has been consistently reliable since 1979. Whether you're a large contractor or a homeowner with an important project, Sun Rental Center is your number one call for equipment rental and services. They go the extra mile, offering hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and longer rental options with industry-standard products from John Deere, Doosan, Genie, JLG, Multiquip, Ditch Witch, Makita, Honda, Steel, and more. Sun Rental Center is open in Sandpoint Monday through Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert since 1990, serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry, offering trailer service, parts, and repairs with a full hydraulic hose shop. They build them while you wait, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear, specializing in repairing all types of diesel and gas trucks, pickups, off-road vehicles, RVs, and heavy equipment. Stop by the shop on Triangle Drive in Ponderay. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
Are you ready for cooler weather ahead? At ProX Home Center, they'll help you turn up the heat with hot deals on a wide array of electric and infrared portable heaters. Also, check out their wood-burning stove, stovepipe, and accessories like insulation, pipe wrap, heat tape, roof heat cables, and so much more. ProX sells and delivers North Idaho Energy logs and pellets. Save big by the pallet or their exclusive second sacks. Call for pricing and details. ProX Home Center, your hometown everything store.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
The Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce Membership Luncheon is this Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m. at Marigold Bistro in the Community Room at the Columbia Bank Building in Sandpoint. Seating is limited. To register, go to sandpointchamber.org.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8 year old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensated for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
Right, everyone, welcome back in. We are getting the real deal here, all of the facts and details about the bond vote that's coming up November the 4th. If you're a Sandpoint resident, it's going to be on your ballot, and you get to make up your mind. And if there's the best way that I want to encourage you, and I know that I do believe the mayor agrees, is don't just get stuck on that dollar number, but look at the details of what is happening to the system and what we need. And before we get to public meetings available to people, what are the advantages that we're going to have real quick? Just list off some advantages that we're going to benefit from.
So assuming the bond passes and we proceed and construct this new facility over the next 2.5 or so years, first the odor. If you've been down to a football game or the festival, the new plant has a design in it, which is an optical odor eliminator. So it uses lasers. It basically eliminates any smell you get from the plant. So that's one of the benefits. But the other one ones are one, a lower cost of operation, mm-hmm. Because we're using some pretty antiquated equipment down there. And then, of course, an assurance and security on the water quality that we're going to be releasing what they call effluent or wastewater into the river at a standard and a quality that is aligned with our environmental regulations and our permit. And then beyond that, eliminating that, reducing that risk that we're going to have a catastrophic failure.
Yes.
At any given day that we're going to have.
That could impact lives, health, and
real estate
fines.
Values. Oh, huge fines. I can't even tell you. These fines will make your eyes roll.
Horrific.
Yeah, so
you know,
those are the advantages.
There was an ad, Mayor, I may be aging myself, but it was like, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Does that ring a bell with you?
It does.
Kind of a slight. Anyway, the idea is you can pay me now or you can pay me a lot more later. So, you know, get with the program anyway. I hadn't thought of the odor, but that is huge.
Well, I don't want to minimize what's being asked. Every family in America, in Bonner County right now, is facing higher grocery prices, higher energy bills, higher food prices, and housing costs. This does not fall deaf on me. I understand that it's just a situation we're in as a country, the age of our infrastructure. It's getting more expensive to live, and this is one of those things where we can get. If the voters approve the bond, we can spread this cost out over 40 years.
Yes.
So
that's important. Well, where can, I mean, I'm sure we have listeners that have been in and out of their vehicles or whatever at work that they're doing, and they may want to be able to ask you questions themselves or hear some of this again or tell their friends. Where do they go? How do they get better, more information?
The easiest place is to go to the City of Sandpoint website, and we have information there on this wastewater project. There's a page out there, I believe it's called Fakebook, F-A with a K, Fakebook, but we do have a page on that, which directs you to the city's Facebook page, and we have some information there. But more importantly, we're having an open house. We had one, and not many people turned out, so I hope more people come on Saturday, October 18th, from at 11 o'clock in the morning at City Hall, where we'll give a brief overview of the project, and we'll have staff there to answer any questions people have. Of course, you can always just call City Hall and ask to speak with our engineer or public works director or anyone who's associated with the project. More than anything, we just want people to get the information. And I guess I'd say this, you know, there's so many things in today's world that we could be divided on, whether, you know, name your issue. But I think this issue is one of those rare things that I try to focus most of my time on, which is, what do we all agree on? You know, we all agree America is the best country in the world, and we have more freedoms than anyone else. But we also agree that we probably want our roads maintained. We want our fire and police to show up when there's a problem. And we want our water to turn on when we turn the tap. And we want our toilets to flush when we flush our toilets. So in my mind, you know, for my term, not trying to do anything radical in the city, simply just trying to make sure our infrastructure is left in a better state than it was when I took office 2 years ago.
Thank you for that. By the way, I printed, Mayor, these two sheets off of the city website about the wastewater treatment plant bond election and all the there's such good information here at the Sandpoint website. It's dash then WWTP for wastewater treatment plant. And it's well worth your visit, ladies and gentlemen, to find that. And if you can't find it, go to this meeting and they will help you navigate to it. So you can actually print it then and take it home and talk with your friends about it. That would be a great, great thing. One other thing that I wanted you to comment on is you talked about the benefits that we will accrue. But it seems to me that you were talking about, you know, we're aware, everybody's got a budget. I'm on a fixed income, actually. Except for the big bucks I earn here at the
city
radio
is too.
Station.
The city is too.
Yeah, exactly. And so this idea of doing it now with 2025 buying power is right. So much better, isn't it?
Well, you know, none of us have a crystal ball, but you could simply ask yourself, were things less expensive or more expensive, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, and are they going to be more expensive or less expensive 10 years from now? So yes, there's no time like yesterday, but if not yesterday, today is the time. So, by addressing this, approaching this project, in its whole, we can, hopefully reduce the cost of, this massive public works project to, future residents.
A question that I really am sorry, there's like 1 minute left, but are there some expenditures that you've seen in the city budget? And they may not be much, but they may be enough to do some coverage where you could move some money in and apply it to the wastewater treatment plant, at least for the next, say, 5 years?
Yeah, I'll say this. Every day I look at what we're doing operationally at the city and look for ways to save money. I'm a cheapskate, I want value for my dollar, and I hold that same approach to the city's dollars and the taxpayer dollars that we're fortunate enough to have. So there aren't a lot of other revenue sources. Most of our free cash goes to our general fund dollars goes to our very minimal road projects, which are only a block or two a year. Our health insurance, we just got our new premium going up another, one quote was for 27% more this year with 110 employees. That's a big number. So each year the city is faced with having to do everything we do with less money. So unfortunately, this is a utility, and the utility, the ratepayers, are the ones who are going to have to work through this with us.
All right, we'll go to that public meeting on the 18th at City Hall at 11 a.m. Go online. Mayor Grimm, thank you so very much for being with us. Such good information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week, we continue our in-depth, unrehearsed interviews covering the November ballot. We will have a detailed discussion with Northside about the Northside Fire District levy. Fire Commissioner Vern Roof will be here, and Bonner County resident Bob Frank also joins us. In addition, always, I'm all about America 250. I encourage you to study and celebrate all the free material available to you about America 250. Google it. My quote today is from American patriot and the author of the Common Sense booklets, Thomas Paine. And he said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." And I can think of a couple of applications for that quote. All right, everybody, until next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down on the roads, to love each other, and God bless America.